Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Deuteronomy, chapter 29. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 through 5. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so glad that we have the same God of Moses and Abraham and Isaac, our forefathers. Lord, you're still the same God that hears and answers prayer. God, I pray that you'd be with our preacher today. Would you please fill him with the same Holy Spirit that you have filled others with? May we be filled with that Spirit to perceive what you and our preacher has for us. Help us as we work to this area for you. Help us as our college kicks off even more that we'd reach the world because of it. Lord, in this service, would you do something that has not ever been done before? Please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you so very much. This morning, my sermon will be more about God than to him or for you. But if you will allow it, it will help you to see what God has done for you. I call the sermon, Your Clothes Are Not Waxen Old. Your clothes are not waxen old. Let me read again to you Deuteronomy 29:5, the place from which the thought, the principles, and the truths will come from. It says, And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Look back at me, if you will, please. The children of Israel, of course, are the focal point of these words. God's children had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. It was a self-inflicted mess that they had brought upon themselves, and now they're facing this long journey. They faced it, and it was tough. They had experienced, though, while on this 40-year wilderness journey, they had faced some wonderful things. They'd seen some wonderful things. The parting of the Red Sea, manna that would daily be provided for them to eat. A pillar of cloud to guide them, a pillar of fire to guide them. There was water provided from a rock. They had wilderness victories. There were quail that would fly so low to the ground they could easily be captured so that they could be eaten. And God comes to them near the end of the journey, and he says to them, he says, And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. See, God reminds them that in the wilderness for 40 years and all their wandering, he had met their needs. And he mentions that their clothing did not wear out. I don't know if you've ever stopped to realize what we read. You see, God gave them clothes going into the wilderness journey, and for 40 years they were out in the wilderness, and he said, all the time you were in the wilderness, your clothes didn't wear out. You had the clothing that you needed. You understand that in the wilderness journey, there wasn't a Walmart where they could stop by and pick up some extra socks. They couldn't go to Target. They couldn't go to Kmart. They couldn't go to some clothiers and get some clothes. They were wandering in the wilderness. It was a wilderness. It was a deserted, barren land. And understand something. For 40 years, their bodies were growing. You all understand that, right? Their bodies were growing. But miraculously, their clothes grew with them. Miraculously, their clothes lasted for 40 years. Now, understand again that these people, it wouldn't have been like you and I. So you all understand, we're all spoiled rotten. Most of you have so many clothes, you've got them in boxes, you've got them in the garage, you've got them crammed under this bed and this box. These people would have basically started out with a change of clothing, maybe two, because sometimes they would carry with them their burial clothes. But they would have an outfit or a suit of clothes that they would wear all the time. They would take it and wash it at the end of the day to put it back on so they would have clean clothing for the next day. Now, the Bible says that God said, did you notice that I provided for you for 40 years? And I need everybody to sit still and pay very close attention. Only leave the auditorium if it's an emergency. But these people, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They had this suit of clothing. And God said at the end of the 40 years, he said, I want you to stop and notice that for 40 years, your clothes did not wear out on you. Miraculously, the clothes had grown with their body somehow, or somehow God has sustained the clothing. I don't think there was a hole in the knee of somebody's trousers. There was no draft in the seat of their breeches. No shirts that had been made into scraps. No dresses cut into quilt pieces. No shop rags made out of old socks. Their clothing lasted for 40 years. That's amazing. You look at that, and so you all know, that's not a misprint in the Bible. We're not seeing it the wrong way. They had a suit of clothes, and for 40 years in the rugged, barren wilderness, God figured out a way to keep them clothed for 40 solid years. Then God also mentions to him, he said, I also took care of your shoes. He said, you didn't have any need of shoes in the wilderness. You had a pair of shoes and those shoes lasted you. Now, I don't know about all of you, but when the rest of your body's growing, so are your feet. And somehow, I don't know how God did it, but their shoes were extended. Their shoes kept fitting them. Their shoes did not wear out. Miraculously, God let their shoes grow on their feet, and somehow there was no doctor's soles to patch you up. There were no sole replacements. They didn't have it. I don't think they made one slingshot out of the tongue of a pair of leather shoes. When I was growing up, if you had cut the tongue out of a pair of leather shoes, you could make yourself a slingshot. You'd poke a hole on both sides of that tongue, get you some rubber bands and a Y from a branch of a tree, and then you could make yourself a slingshot. Nobody made one slingshot out of the tongue of a old pair of shoes because somehow God sustained their shoes. He said, I've taken care of your shoes, miraculously. I've taken care of your clothes, miraculously. God has always been the great provider. These people did not enter Canaan land looking like a bunch of ragged beggars. I don't think God wanted them to. I don't think God wanted to enter into Canaan land and everybody there say, look at those bunch of people that are poor and who their God didn't take care of them. Their God didn't provide for them. Look at those beggars coming into this land. Look at those downtrodden people. I don't believe God wanted them to enter into Canaan land with their clothes all wore out and their shoes all wore out. God gives us, folks, many things. But you know, we look at that and we say, what a miracle. Their shoes lasted and their clothing lasted them 40 years. And God takes the time to point it out in the scripture. But folks, God gives you and I many things that last forever. Yes. You don't have to feel left out. You say, I would have liked to have been alive back then where shoes last for 40 years and clothing lasts for 40 years by a God-given miracle. Hey, folks, I've got good news for you.
There are all sorts of things that you and I, there are all sorts of benefits that God gives you and I. And they, our benefits, they also last. They last longer than 40 years. I call this sermon, "Your clothes are not waxing old." Many things in the Christian life don't wear out. God can make products with lifetime warranties that will never be needed. You and I, we too experience this thing of things that God's given us not being wore out. For instance, your salvation won't wax old. Your salvation won't wax old. It won't wear out. The Bible says in John 10, verse 27 and 28, 29, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Folks, once you get saved, you're saved forever. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Hebrews 5, 9 calls it an eternal salvation. John 3, 16 tells us that we have everlasting life. God's grace is still amazing. And folks, if you're saved today, you say, "Brother Owens, I feel like I'm losing in the stock market." You're not going to lose your salvation. You say, "I feel like I'm losing seniority or something down at the shop." You're not going to lose your salvation. You say, "I feel like I'm losing on many fronts." There's one thing you'll not lose. You'll not lose your salvation. God's grace is still amazing. And you and I look at that Old Testament story and we say, "Look, their clothes lasted for 40 years. Look, their shoes lasted for 40 years. And we say, "Wow, that's incredible. I can go one better than that. My God saved me and I'm saved forever. From the day I got saved, forever I am saved." That's better than having shoes that last forever. Woo! I love that. Your salvation is as good as it ever has been. It will take you to heaven and it will keep you there forever without fail. It will assure you of no hell forever. It is certain. There's no breakdown. Salvation is sure and cared for. He created and provided your salvation. He's the one that keeps you saved. Now, you're the one that has to keep you right with God, but He keeps you saved. When you get saved, God saves you. And I'll tell you one reason why. Because God loves you. And God knows that if He left your salvation up to you for the keeping, you'd screw it up. And He doesn't want it screwed up because His Son died for you. And once you got saved, He wants you in heaven. God wants you to be in heaven. Now, once you get saved, you're always saved. Now, whether or not you're going to stay right with God while you're saved, now that part's up to you. But this thing is salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And once you're saved, you're saved. It's called the security of the believer. It's provided not by me and not by you, but by the one that's never lost one. He's never lost one. If He saved you, you're saved. Your salvation won't wax old. It won't wax old. It's sad that your salvation may have waxed old in your appreciation. Hey, it may be that you don't appreciate your salvation like you should. It may have waxed old in your attitude, but not in God's standing. Your thankfulness for your salvation should be as fresh as your salvation. You know, folks, you are as much saved today as you were back then when you asked Jesus to save you. It's not lost an ounce of its potency. It is still, you're still covered by the blood. You say, "How much?" All the way. You're all the way covered by the blood. You're all the way saved. It's all taken care of. It's not debated every day at a conference meeting in heaven. They don't sit up there and say, "Well, I wonder if that old so-and-so is still saved today." Jesus said, "Once they're saved, they're always saved." They say, "By whose authority?" He said, "By the blood of the Lamb, they're saved." And it's all taken care of. You are just as saved today as you were the day that Jesus saved you. Your salvation has not waxed old. Not only that, I've got other news for you. Your heaven has not waxed old. Heaven is not waxing old. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Hey, folks, heaven's not growing old. Heaven is not in need of any repairs. None. Heaven's streets will never need pothole service. Heaven's population does not create wear and tear on it. In heaven, they don't have to recarpet. I'll tell you what, there is a lot of carpeting around this church complex. I mean, there's a lot of flooring around here, and every time I turn around, it's stained, it's boogered up, it's wore down, it's got a path on it, and I think, oh my, I can't wait till I get to heaven, I don't have to buy any more carpeting. And let me tell you something, the golden streets in heaven, they don't have war spots on them. You know how on the carpeting you can tell where people have walked down and walked down and walked down, and there's a path there, that beaten path. In heaven, no beaten path on anything. It's as pure as a day in eternity when God made it all or whenever it happened. It's pure. You see, heaven's population does not create wear and tear on heaven. You and I are going to a place that is not waxing old. When we get there, we won't wax old. When you and I get there, we won't grow old anymore. And some of you, if you've got the energy, say amen right now. Oh, I hate to tell you this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for my wife for saying it, but I got to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. I was with my granddaughter, and she was running she grabbed a hold of some of my hair, and she said, "Papa, you have gray hair." I'm thinking, yeah, I do. She said, "I know what you did to it." I said, "What?" She said, "You diarrhea'd it." I said, "Sweetheart, no, the term would be you dyed it. Not diarrhea." So you wonder what happened to my gray hair? We diarrhea'd it. But one of these days when we all get to heaven, you won't grow old anymore. You see, when we get to heaven, you and I, our bodies will not waxen old. Their shoes. And so, hey, as we look at this thing, it's very obvious God is very capable. God, when God said, "I'll make those shoes last, I'll make that suit of clothing last for you," that's nothing for God. God made a salvation that lasts. God created a place called heaven, and it is not waxing old. Heaven is as clean as it's always been, and it stays that way 24/7. Heaven's gold is not tarnished from all the ages of people living there. Heaven's gates are in no need of repair. Heaven doesn't wax old. Heaven is as pure now as it always has been and it always will be. Heaven's furnishings are not broken down due to usage. Abraham went to heaven and it was as beautiful there as it had been many years before. Then Paul showed up many years after and Paul said, "Boy, this place is nice." Abraham said, "It's exactly like it was when I got here." And then Noah said, "Boy, it's been like this forever." Another angel stood up and said, "We keep this place spiffy clean. It's pure. Its plan is to keep it that way from now through all eternity. Nothing grows old around here." Heaven needs no maintenance, man. Heaven's pearly gates don't need dusted. They're not wore down or wore out in heaven. Heaven's smell is as clean and fresh as ever. It's not like a nursing home. We're not a bunch of old people up there growing old, smelling old, and everything else. Heaven has not waxed old. Heaven's better than ever. Better than ever. You see, when I seen that story of those people in their wilderness journey, a little part of me said, wouldn't it be something that your shoes would not have to be replaced and your clothing would not have to be replaced because they don't wax old? And then I got to thinking, God's done that in a lot of arenas for us. There are a lot of areas of life where you and I who are alive today can look to God and we can testify. He has given me a salvation that does not wax old. He's given me a place called heaven that does not wax old. But not only that, God's mercy does not wax old. Then wear out the mercy of God. It says in Psalm 138, verse number 8, "The Lord will perfect that which cometh me." That which concerneth me. "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Psalm verse 1, chapter 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Boy, I like that. God's mercies don't wear out. Though you might not have the good sense to say amen right now, you ought to be saying amen that God's mercy never runs out. Thank God for His mercy. God was merciful to us years ago. and showing us that thing called salvation, and that mercy has carried into our lives after salvation. God's marvelous mercy is as strong today as it's ever been. God's mercy is as kind as it's ever been. God's mercy is as tender as it's ever been. God's mercy has not waxed old. God did not use up all of His mercy on the Old Testament saints. We look back and see God time and time again showing mercy on those Old Testament saints. We might look and say, God, did you only have so much mercy available? Have you used it all up on the Old Testament saints? He would say no. But God, I watched you, some of those people in the New Testament. You had to be so patient. You had to be so long-suffering with them. I've seen how much mercy you used up in the Old Testament. How much mercy you used up in the days of that New Testament. God, do you have any mercy left? He would say, I've got a truckload after truckload after truckload after truckload. As far as the eyes can see, I have mercy upon the people that I love. Thank God, His mercy is everlasting. He shows it just in that salvation. How long salvation? Everlasting. And that means the mercy of God is adequate for me and for you from now all the way through eternity. As far as the east is from the west, there is the mercy of God available to us. Hey, they thought they had something going for them. Pair of shoes that last 40 years. Brother, I've got it going for me. Look what God's done for me. His mercy does not wax old. His mercy is just as amazing today as ever. God did not wear out His mercy on all your faults of yesterday. His mercy concerning your salvation is strong and is not waxing old. His mercy concerning the forgiveness that He shows us is still functioning and strong. His mercy, hey, the mercy that you enjoyed in years gone by, some of you need to remember it and realize it's the same mercy. Calm down, claim the mercy of God, get back on board, start serving Him again. God's well of mercy has not gone dry. God showed His mercy to Peter when Peter denied Christ. Remember, Jesus was on the way to the crucifixion. Peter stands just a little distance from Jesus and he begins to deny Christ at the devil's fire. He denies, he cusses, he lies that he even knows Jesus Christ. And Peter ends up soiling his reputation. And look right at me, if you will. Peter ends up soiling his reputation. And I'm sure Peter wondered, I wonder after Peter had denied Christ, I wonder if Peter said, you know what, God, maybe you're not going to be merciful with me anymore. Every time I turn around, Lord, you have to forgive me and give me another shot and give me another chance. And this time I stood right out there and I denied that I even knew you. God, can you help me? And God looked down and said, Peter, don't you worry. My mercies are new every morning. What do you want me to do? You get up tomorrow morning, Peter, and you go down to Pentecost and see if you can get a group of people together and do a little something for me. And the mercy of God kicked in on the day of Pentecost, and God let Peter see 3,000 people say, and I think Peter said, thank God, His mercy is ever strong. God still loves you. And even though you may be hard to love, you see, God wants His mercy to be available to us. His mercy has not waxen old. Not only that, His love for us does not wax old. And for that, I'm grateful. His love for us is not wore out. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm glad that God said He loves us with an everlasting love. Again, you can trace it back to the reason for your salvation, and you can trace it back to the reason for His mercy. It's because God loves you. You say, why would He be so merciful? Why would He do what He did? God loves you. God loves you. God's love is as deep as it's ever been. God's love is as thick as it's ever been. God's love reservoir is full and overflowing. God's love doesn't spoil. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't grow mold. And there's no expiration date on it. God loves you. God loves you. You say, but Brother Owens, I'm backslidden away from God. God loves you. You say, but preacher, I've turned my back on God and I've virtually become an enemy of God, an enemy to the church, an enemy to the pastor. God loves you. And just so you know, so does your preacher. But God loves you. And God, love, it's eternal. If you ask the question today, preacher, does God still love me? It's an emphatic yes. Yes, God still loves you. He never stopped loving you. He always had. He loved you before you knew you. He loved you. He'll love you after you've forgotten about Him. He won't forget about you. Just as God loved Jonah when he went into the belly of the whale, He'll love you and He still loves you. God's love always has been and it always will be. Just as their shoes did not wax old, neither does the love of God. Just as their clothing did not wax old, neither does the love of God. God's love does not wear out and require a patch, and it doesn't need a repair. You don't have to worry. They'll shut down a road out here and you got to get detoured. And you got to go the long way around. I've got good news for you. There's never a shutdown on God's love. No detour that makes you take the long way around. Your God loves you. He means it. It's a direct line of love available to you today. It's always been there. It is there now. It always will be there. When we get into eternity, we're going to feel the love of God and it's going to be magnificent. Their shoes didn't wax old, but thank God God's love doesn't wax old. God still loves the hard to love. God still loves with a heavenly love. God's love for you is as strong as ever before. God's love is not like a battery that runs down. God's love has not waxen old. My salvation has not waxen old. Heaven has not waxen old. His mercy has not waxen old. His love for us has not waxen old. But not only that, His word does not wax old. Doesn't get wore out. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible is not outdated. It's not old news. It's good news. It still applies to us today. It will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is eternal. God's word is everlasting. God's word is we don't have to worry about it getting outdated. We don't need an upgrade. It was pure. It has been pure, and it always will be pure. God's word is not held together with a piece of duct tape. Now, your Bible cover and the pages in your Bible might be held together with duct tape, but just so you understand the principles and the truth and the purity of the Word of God, it needs no duct tape, it don't need staples, it doesn't need anything. God will hold it together. It's God's Word. God has not changed His mind about holy living in our day. God's Word is not held together by man's ability to succeed by living it. It is held together because it is God's Word. It's God's way. God's Word's current. It's not in need of a reproofing. It's not in need of an editing by man. It does not need an overhaul. It's up to date. There have been people trying to update God all along. I've got news for you. We're the ones that are out of date, not God. I've got the blessed King James Bible, the eternal Word of God, and we need to understand something, that it doesn't need improved upon, it just needs lived. Just lived. The Bible never falls behind the times. It's never waxing old. A wife said to her husband of 20 years, "Honey, I need a new dress." He said, "Well, what's wrong with the last new one I gave you?" She said, "Well, it's a little bit too long. And besides, the veil keeps getting in my eyes." Ladies, I'm helping you now. If last time you got your wife a new dress was that white one that she wore down the aisle, it's time to choke up a few bucks there, tightwad. Let me tell you something. The principles of God, the truths of God, they're up to date. They're up to date. God's desire for marriage, it's up to date. America doesn't need to revisit and try to figure out what we need. We need to go back to God's principles. When it comes to what's right and what's wrong with the liquor traffic and what's right and what's wrong with nudity and all the filth of this world, the old book of God, it's still up to date. And the society changes. And folks, let me tell you something. The worse society gets, the more odd we'll look. But just so you know, God's book is the normal book and God's people are the normal people. You see, Your clothes are not waxing old. Now, I don't have any shoes that have lasted me 40 years. And I dead sure don't have any clothes that have lasted me 40 years. Matter of fact, I've changed suit sizes twice in the last 4 years. And that's because of the good cooking of my wife. But I've got some things that last longer than 40 years. You say, yeah, those people back there in the Old Testament, they were spoiled. Look what God did for them. God did more for you. You have a salvation that won't wax old. We're going to a heaven that won't wax old. We have a mercy that is not waxing old. He has a love for us that is not waxed old. His word, it's not waxed old. We can still depend on it. We can still count on it. We can still believe it. We can still go to the bank on it. Hey, listen, kindness toward others will always be right, and it will never wax old. It won't. For the human race, charity never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He said, but charity never faileth. That word charity means love. God is love. Love will always be around. Love will always be God's way. The expectation by God placed upon you and me to love one another, it's still current. It's still alive. It's still up to date. That has not changed. Being good to others is still God's way. Hating people is not God's way. We're to hate sin, but we're to love people. Loving people has not waxed old in God's plan. God has not developed a new plan for Christians in this day and age in regard to the way we're to treat each other. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's still in the Bible. Love one another is still in the Bible. Lift each other up is still in the Bible. It's still there. It's still the mark of the Christian. Love is still the right way, not revenge. Love is still the trademark of a godly Christian. Hey, folks, love still works. Love still works. Love is still the answer. God loved John the Beloved. I love it. The man by the name of John the Beloved, that one that was with Jesus as he traveled this earth, John called himself the one that Jesus loved. He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus knew what John needed was love. And just like John needed love, so does your Christian brother. So does your Christian sister. They need love. Let love permeate the church. You and I, let's all pull together and rise up and hate sin and hate what sin does to people. But let's make sure we love each other. Let's love the fallen, and let's love the lost, and let's love the confused. But hate the sin. Hate that sin. But the love of God and loving one another is still the key. It's not wore out. It's not outdated. We are not in a new part of history where suddenly you and I are to hate one another, but we're to love. See, Jesus didn't use up all of his love on John. He didn't use up all of his love on the Old Testament saints or the New Testament saints. And you and I, do you know that you have enough love to love everybody you're supposed to love? You have it if you'll use it. And if you want to be like God, love this way. If you hate sin, fine, go ahead and hate sin, but love people. Love will fix that marriage. Love will fix that relationship. Love will fix that disunity between you and some Christian brother. Love will help fix that up. You see, our love for others is not to waxen old. It's to stay current. It's still God's way. I want you to know this also. God's promise to give to us, if we give to him, that promise is not waxing old. It's not waxing old. I said God's promise to us, to give to us, if we are faithful to give to him, that promise is not waxing old. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. God is saying to us, you be careful, thinking all your riches and all your money and all your increase, it's all about this life. He said, because it can be lost and it can rust and it can wear out. Folks, your bank account can wear out. Your checkbook can wear out. Your gold can wear out. What you have can wear out. But God said, you better put some of it where it won't wear out. Where it won't wear out. Where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Put it where thieves cannot steal it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Listen, you cannot give so much that God can't keep up with this promise. Let me say it again. You can't give God so much that He can't keep up with His promise to give back. God says to us, there are some things that are not going to wear out. Listen to Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You understand, first of all, he's telling us to make sure that we tithe. That is a scripture on giving a tenth of all of our increase, our gross income and benefit. He's saying you tithe on that. But notice what he says here. He said, if you will be faithful to give, he said, you just see if I don't open the windows of heaven and bless you. But by the way, it wasn't just a blessing. Understand what he promises. He said, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's not Owensology, that's the Bible. You just heard it. God said, you give, I'll give back. And I think sometimes He gives us back and we're not even bright enough to see how much He's given us. God's ability to provide for you by way of your faith in Him is not weakened. The windows of heaven can still be open so He can pour out a blessing upon you. God can and does still give as we give to Him. Sacrifice by the Christian is still a part of God's plan. The widow and her two mites is still a heroic act. It is still possible that a lad can give a few loaves and a few fishes to Jesus and he could reach a multitude with it. You know, we're getting ready to raise some money for our college. You can get mad about it if you want to, but you'll be unreasonable with me because I've never asked someone to give more than what they can give. Your problem is you may want to compete with everybody in your giving. You can do it any way you want, but what you really need to do is figure out what God wants you to do. Say, well, I don't want to do this because I can't give as much as the next guy and I might look like I don't love the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. God knows your heart. And if you give what you can give, that's all God would expect you to do. And we're not wise when we compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not a vainglory trip. It is you and I in faith going to God and saying, God, how can I make a difference? I'll give what I can give. And God will honor that. God pays the highest interest, though, so you know. He gives the highest interest returns in the universe. I believe this, so you understand. In our church, we get to see people say, but let me explain to you what can happen. If we can train preacher boys from across the world, send them out to start churches everywhere, you're going to trace back the multiplicity of churches and salvations. You're going to trace a lot of it back to this place where they were trained to go and do it. You multiply your investment because you're helping to start soul winning churches all around the nation and world. Talk about big dividends. There are people here, you say, I love giving to a church where people are saved all the time. I'm glad. What would happen if we had 100 churches out there doing the same thing? Wow. I believe gifts to our Bible college will be gifts that God will pay great dividends for. You know, folks, Heaven's Bank doesn't need FDIC. Federal Deposit Insurance. Say, well, you better make sure your money's somewhere with FDIC protection. I agree with that. I don't think I want money out there in the system that's not protected by FDIC. But I'll tell you this, there's a place that doesn't even need FDIC. Instead of FDIC, it's got GDIC, God Deposit Insurance. It's better than federal. Some of you, that'll be hard for you to swallow because the federal government's part of your God. God's ability to reward our giving has not waxen old. You say, well, we live in such a time as this. Look, Christians all through history have lived in such a time as this. It's never been great for everybody at any time financially, ever. Never. And God's ability to reward our giving has not waxen old. And then I have one more piece of information I ought to pass on to you. Hell has not waxen old. It's not waxen old. Matthew 18:8 says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. The first part of the verse is not my issue right now. It just talks about hell as a place of everlasting fire. Jude chapter 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Understand, hell is a place of eternal fire. It never goes out. Then it says that the people, the angels that were cast out of heaven, and their final abode will be hell, they are chained with everlasting chains. Well, you know, you and I that are saved, we're going to a place where things are everlasting. The people in hell, they get everlasting chains and everlasting fire. They get everlasting punishment, everlasting torment, everlasting darkness. Hell's fire is not cooler today than what it used to be. Those of you that have wood burners or fireplaces, you know what it's like when you put the last log on and there's nothing in the pile right by in the house and you're thinking, I gotta go get some wood from somewhere to keep that fire going. In hell, there's always another log outside the back door. The heat, there's never a time when they say, you know what, everything's going to really, the temperature's going to go, it's going to get better here because we're running out of wood or coal. It doesn't work that way. It is as intense in hell as it was the day it was created. It'll stay that way through all eternity. Hell's pain has not been reduced. Hell has not started taking breaks. Hell does not get a vacation program. They don't get a few days off. Hell is as terrible today as it was when the rich man was placed in it in Luke chapter 16. Hell is the final destination of Satan. And once he is put there permanently and finally, he'll be there for everlasting and everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. Lasting torment. Hell is as it is going to last as long as heaven will, and they will be there for all eternity. Hell is as bad as heaven is good. Hell has not waxen old. Those that have been down there, they're not down there saying, yeah, this has gotten a little better. Doesn't get a little better. They're not saying, boy, I can't wait till we get that break they promised us. No breaks. Hell has not waxen old. And God turned to the children that had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and said, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And what's God saying? God's saying, I've taken care of you. And he tells you and I, he's taking care of us too. They got the benefit of clothing and shoes. Look at the marvelous benefits of the child of God. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, those benefits are available to you. You either enjoy the benefits that I just described that are the positives, or you'll face the benefit or the punishment of that hell that does not wax old. I hope we'll stop and realize what a great God we serve. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Salvation is the same today as it was 1,000 years ago. You need to get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Answer this question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know, I'm not sure, then why don't you get born again? Why don't you trust Christ today? Who here would say, preacher, when you ask the question, if I'm 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have to say, I don't know. I have to say, I don't think that I would. Why don't you say, pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died today. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. You say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died today. If that's you, I hope today you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you didn't raise your hand just a moment ago, or if you did, let me say to you, there's a place called heaven. It's available to you. That heaven is available through what Jesus did for you. He makes heaven available. If you'll come in a moment when we have the altar call, you may come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You walked into this auditorium, not sure where you'll go. You'll walk out of this auditorium on your way to heaven according to the blessed word of God. And so I say, if you're not saved, when we start the altar call, you come. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, the instrumentalists are going to begin to play. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform. They'll stand down front at the end of each aisle. And if you're not saved, whether you're in the balcony or the lower floor, you leave your seat. You walk back into this auditorium. You walk up to one of these men and you say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Don't let anything stop you from doing so. When the altar call begins, folks are to be coming forward, not going backward. Those of you that get up and walk out every week in dozens, boy, you make the flow of traffic go the wrong way. People ought to be coming to Jesus. That's what the altar call is all about. And when you see people coming forward, you'll see there will be others coming. If you're not saved, you come and trust Christ as Savior. Let me ask another question, though. Who here would say, preacher, I'm a born again Christian, but I think I've lost track of some of the benefits here. I was amazed at the shoes that did not wear out and the clothing that did not wear out. And I'd lost track of all the marvelous benefits that God has made available to me. I owe my God some praise. I owe my God some adoration. I owe my God some worship. Look at all that He's given me that will last forever. Don't talk, please. I'm not shocked, but don't talk. Who here would say, I owe my God some time as I see what a miraculous thing He has done for me. Just like He did for those Old Testament saints that were wandering in the wilderness. And God has spoken to my heart about that adoration. Would you raise your hand and say, boy, I see what God's done for me. You may put that hand down, but if you need a moment at the altar, you come. Somebody, you've gotten away from God. Maybe you need to come back to Him today. If you've been saved, but you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come and we'll help you with that. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. If you all stand to your feet quietly.